in Jesus' name this evening. It's good to be here with you. Haven't been here before. Been to Loyola several times, but it's my first time being here. And I would have been happy to bring my family along, but, well, it's that time of year. We still have lots of sickness, and so they could not come. Thought maybe a couple could come, but until it came down to it, no one would come. We had to somehow balance material and spiritual interest. We want to do a little more of that tonight, but I'm glad all of you came tonight and are finding that balance in your life. What an assignment. What a task. To look at a subject like this, balancing material and spiritual interest. Lifelong task. I know you didn't ask me because I have it figured out, because I'm not done yet. I'm still working on it. And I know all of you are here tonight. I don't consider myself to be an expert on the subject, but I agreed to preach on it because I care about it. And it's something that means a lot to me because I do have a lot of material interests, but I do have a lot of spiritual interests. It's a constant balancing act to bring those two together. So we want to look at some of those things tonight, try to find some answers, because we're coming to a very busy time of year for a lot of us, and we don't want to miss out. Well, this is everything to do with life, because life is very enjoyable, and life has a lot to offer us. Life is fun, and I think that's the way God intended it to be. He wanted us to enjoy it. We made a mess out of it at the fall of man when we sinned. We made it a whole lot more difficult for ourselves, and suddenly the physical things mean a whole lot more to us than what they were supposed to. Back when God had created us, he hadn't intended for us to spend so much time making a living and eating and all those things. But after we sinned, he realized that we needed something to keep us busy. And even more so, we see after the flood, it became even more difficult than what it was before. But we live life with expectations. We expect a lot out of life. You know, we have these goals when we're young. We want to get bigger. We want certain items for our birthday. We want our driver's license. We want to get married. We want a nice place to live, or a good paying job, or at least a job good enough that we can live comfortably. You know, we have all these goals, these things that we want. That's about where I stop right now. I'm not on the other end where I'm trying to make sure I have enough to last me till I die. But all these things come with life. And every day we're sowing seeds. Every day they're falling around us, whether we want to or not. Every day we're sowing something. And every day we're reaping a little bit of it. Every day. And when we're young, it seems that we do a lot of sowing and not so much reaping. And when we get old, it seems like we do a lot more reaping and it's not as much sowing. And I can already see that change in my life, where the things that you sow when you were younger can come back to haunt you or come back to bless you. And I have friends, and I see it work out in different people's life. And it starts to bring more and more of a balance into your life as you get older. Yeah, in my early 20s. You know, we think we have it figured out, and we think we need to shake things up a little bit. After a while, we begin to see the other side of it. Well, what title did you give me? It says Balancing Material and Spiritual Interest. I like to look at the word balance, first of all. What is balance? One of my former deacons, it was one of his favorite words because he brought it up often in Sunday school discussions. He always said it's one of the most important words of the English language was balance. Got to find a balance. I got tired of it sometimes in bringing that word up, but it was true. It's true, and it's what we face. Now, balance has many definitions. Probably one way to describe balance is we have our youngest is 9 months old, and he didn't learn to walk yet, but he did learn to crawl. And it doesn't seem like they crawl very long at all before they're pulling themselves up at things and trying to stand. And he's trying to find his balance, walking along furniture and things like that. And so you have this tug of war between trying to stand upright and not succumbing to gravity, not falling down. And it's a little bit that way in our physical lives. We have a tug of war between multiple things, but especially two things as defined in the title, material and spiritual. There's a tug of war between those things. It seems like the spiritual would be to stand up and the material would be to fall down. And we try to stay on balance and not get off balance one way too far or another. We know what it's like to drive a car down the road when a wheel's out of balance, and it isn't very fun. We want to stop and get that thing balanced again. Another example that maybe would explain balance to you would be that of an old-fashioned scales, where you hold the scales and you have an arm on both sides and strings or chains that goes down and a plate on each side. And you have a balance between those. And you put a weight on one side and you put the product or whatever you want on the other side and you try to bring the balance so you know how much, have a measure of how much you have. And so you try to find the right amount of both to make this thing work. And so that's a lot of what we're trying to do with our lives. Try to find that balance between the two. So what does it take to be balanced, and what does balance look like? I thought it might have been easier if I had just brought along some of my climbing gear, that's what I do for a living, and find a big tree out around here and show you how to walk out on limbs, show you how to balance. It probably would have been a little easier than to tackle a subject like this. Because you can see when the person's balanced or not on that limb, and you see the effects of when they're not. And it might have been a little easier than trying to tell you how to be balanced in life. One of the other illustrations that I thought about, and we will be looking at some scripture soon, I realize I'm doing a lot of talking, but as my father used to talk about life as if it was a pie, and there's a lot of different pieces to the pie, and there's a lot of different pieces that make up the whole of the pie, and too often we tend to get focused on one piece or another. We look at one part of life and we think, this is life, this is what life's all about. And we focus on that thing, forgetting that there's more pieces to it. Maybe we have found the joy in evangelism, and so we're focused so much on that, we forget that that's only one part of the Christian life. And there's a lot of discipleship and obedience and other things that go along with that everyday walk. So life, there's many pieces to life, the Christian life, and even just life in general. And we have to find a balance with them all and take all of them into account. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Why would we want to talk about a subject like this? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Gives us a little indication of why you would even give me a subject like this. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. These verses talk specifically about what's all around us. And there's so much of what's around us, it's going to pass away. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be gone after a while. Or at least we're going to be gone from it. And it matters. It matters. Where is our affection? And so we understand that there's two kingdoms in the world. There's a kingdom of righteousness, and there's a kingdom of unrighteousness. There's God's kingdom, and then there's the devil's kingdom. There's the right things to do, and then there's the lust of our flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, things that are not of the Father. The title would almost make it sound like we're trying to find a balance between the two. I don't think that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to find a balance between good and evil. How much good can we allow and how much evil can we allow? I don't think that's what we're trying to do. If you go back to, let me just read the verse from Proverbs 21, verse 4. He says, "In high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin." And we take from that verse that there are wrong things, and then there are things that may even not be wrong that become wrong because we're not doing it for a good purpose. What's wrong with plowing a field? What's wrong with planting seed? What's wrong with getting a job and going to work? Well, nothing, unless you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. And suddenly it becomes very wrong for doing it just to serve our own flesh. So an seemingly immoral act turns into a sin because we're doing it to fulfill our own fleshy desires instead of fulfilling the kingdom of heaven. So perhaps the most important point in answering the topic is, am I a Christian? Am I a Christian or not? Probably the most important question we need to ask ourselves. What is a Christian? What does a Christian look like? Maybe what we think a Christian is isn't what it really is. Well, we know that a Christian is simply being a little Christ, being Christ-like. And whether or not we really are a Christian in our heart makes all the difference as to whether or not we're going to even be able to find a balance in our life. That's the question we have to answer first. So I want to emphasize that. When we think about balance, we must make sure our heart is right. We'll talk more on that later. Material interests. What are we talking about when we talk about material interest? I thought about my drive down here tonight when he called me a little while ago and asked me to come. I wanted to come because I knew that we asked people come serve us and it's nice to go bless other people, return the favor. So I wanted to come. But I got the calendar out and I opened it up and I looked at it and it said, Daylight Savings Times begins. And I thought, I really want to do it. That's not a very good weekend. Well, the family can pull through that. We'll do it. We'll do it. But last week, whenever I needed a piece of equipment, and it was completely across the state, I drove good part of Turnpike tonight, just like I did then. But I went the whole way down to almost to Philly for the piece of equipment that I wanted to buy. And it really wasn't that much hardship. I even got up at about 3:15 in the morning and hit the road because I needed this piece of equipment and drove the whole way down there and picked it up and worked the rest of the day. Material interest, is it wrong? What purpose is it trying to fulfill? Did it make it wrong for me to get it because I wanted to fulfill a desire that I had? Well, I had to do something. The other one we had needed work done. We sent it off, told us it would take 2 or 3 months to get it back in working order. So I guess I better buy another one. Then I'll have two. Next time it won't matter. For a good purpose. But if that's where my focus is and I bring it home and I brag about it and I show it off, suddenly it can be a snare and a problem. Are material interests all wrong? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In verse 10. Verse 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Well, we can't say that material interests are all wrong. He says here, you're not supposed to eat if you don't work. In other words, you're supposed to work. That's what he was telling everybody. Get busy, get some work done. If we go back to God in the Garden of Eden, when he threw Adam and Eve out, he told Adam, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So God told Adam, you need to get out there, you need to get busy, you need to make a living, you need food to eat. It's going to be hard for you. This is what you need to do. And so we can't say that material interests are wrong. We're in the New Testament here. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll read a couple verses. 1 Timothy 5, verses 5 through 8. And talking about, helping people out. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And I really wanted verse 8, but when I looked at the context, I felt like it had to start a little sooner. Because he's saying a person that doesn't have much really trusts in God because they really, really need God. So he was saying don't help them too quickly because they need to find their dependence on God. If all they're looking for, verse 6 is really saying if they're just looking for pleasure out of life, they're dead. It's bringing them death if they're just looking for pleasure in life. So let them have some responsibility. And in verse 8, moves right into that thought, you need to provide for your own. You need to provide. We need to provide for our own. So we cannot conclude that all material interests are wrong. If we're talking about selfish interests, then we probably should conclude that many of those are wrong. Too many of our material interests do turn into selfish interests. That's what makes capitalism work, because of selfishness. People can pursue what they want for themselves to make their lives better. It makes a system work. It makes people want to get out of bed and work. And if you have communism where you hand it all to them, they do less and less and less until it falls apart. What do we talk about when we're talking about spiritual interests, balancing it with spiritual interests? What is our responsibility as little Christs? Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Well, we're right here. Just go over to chapter 6. It says if you're a slave, verse 1, just go ahead and be a slave, serving right, serving with love. Nothing wrong with being that way. But verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about with questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will fall will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who was a blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. But they that do good, and they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, they may lay hold on eternal life. We'll stop there. You probably thought I might turn to this passage, at least if you are a Bible scholar, because this passage gives a good balance between the two. It shows the warning of material interests and how we can, because of our selfish nature, we can come up with a lot of arguments and excuses why the things that we want are okay and why it's a good thing and why people shouldn't take it away from us. It's wrong in somebody else, we can point it right out, we can see it. But when it's me, I can kind of reason this thing away. And that's what he talks about, these people that saying that gain is godliness. And you can kind of see how they came to that, because in the Old Testament, God blessed them when they did right, and he took things away when they did wrong. That was more how God worked in the Old Covenant. In the New Testament, he's saying, I don't want you, and Jesus taught this, and we'll look at some of those teachings later too, but this gain is not necessarily godliness. God gives and God takes away. But investing our things in the kingdom of God, that's godliness. And that's where we find fulfillment. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let's be with content with little. The second part of the chapter does help to explain what righteousness is and spiritual interests are. Following after God, following faith, love, patience, meekness, laying hold of that. Part of our problem with this subject tonight, moving away from describing spiritual interests, moving more to the problem and why we struggle with this subject, is part of our problem is we like to have a checklist. We like to have a list of things that I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this, and then I'm okay. And that's what we like to make with our life. And that's why some people have a problem with having church rules, because we're tempted just to check all the boxes and then we're okay. Same thing with our material spiritual interest. We like to just check the boxes off. We like to have our witness time and our money-making time. We like to have this time when it's set aside for God and we work all week, we make money, but we always go to church on Sunday, and so we're okay. Part of the problem is we have multiple boxes that we like to divide our life up into. And here's my time, and here's God's time. And it's not that way. It's not that way. And that's why what the title almost makes it sound like, that we can somehow have our material things and enjoy that, and then have our spiritual interest and enjoy that. I wrote down here, I'll go bid jobs, I'll remove trees, I'll sell firewood, and then I'll go to church on Sunday, and I'm okay. Maybe if you're a stay-at-home mom, it really can feel that way. We need to get a better picture of what life really is about. It's kind of like a 10-year-old that wants to get the chores done quick so he can run off and play. And we approach our Christian life that way. I like to present a different perspective. There really only is one box. There really only is one box. It's the kind of situation where you go out and we need to work, we need to make a living. And that brings us in contact with people. And when you go out, like yesterday, I stopped to talk to a lady about a tree she wanted to take out. But we went from there right into her divorce that she was in the middle of going through. And I don't know her husband, but I knew her husband's family, many of them. And they didn't come from millions, but they have millions. And it's a huge stress in their life. But what was physical and me pursuing my material interests married right into spiritual interests. Because just as soon as somebody has a need, we're talking to people and we sense a need, right away we turn over. We turn to discussion, and we'll stay there an extra hour and discuss the spiritual need, because that's really what we came here for to begin with. We didn't know what it was going to be, but that's what it became. And if we miss the next appointment, that's not what's most important. Sure, we should give them a call and let them know what's going on, but it's not as important that my day goes right as it is that I do the right thing in the moment. Thought of it the other day as well. I'd stopped somewhere and I was in a big parking lot with a truck. And as I was leaving, I didn't notice right away because there was lots of cars. But out of the corner of my eye, I saw back over here, there was a van sitting there and they had a sign up. And it wasn't written in very good English and they sure didn't look like what we think of as Americans. And they needed some kind of help. But I was already in line with traffic to head out and there was a traffic light. And I thought, well, I'll stop back later and see if they're still there. You know, we have to take those opportunities when they come to bless people. Instead, I ended up with too many material interests and not enough of spiritual interest. Came back in through town later and I still forgot to stop and see if they were there. Was not able to bless them in any way or or even just give a cup of water to them in the name of Jesus. I wasn't able to do that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, well, we can turn there, talks about two groups of people, not specifically, well, let's just read the verse. Hebrews 4, verse 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so the picture I get here is a group of people that are promised a rest. And some of these people, everybody hears the same message. Some of the people go into the rest and other people don't go into that rest. What's the difference? Some of them, it's mixed with faith, and other ones, it's not. And so you can have multiple people on the same crew going out to build a house or take down a tree or whatever it may be. And some of them will be spiritually blessed at the end of the day, and some of them won't be, even though they did the exact same thing. Some people mix it with faith and some people don't. Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Certainly our sisters have plenty of opportunity to give cups of water in the name of Jesus. Even a very simple task when it's done for his glory. I remember being with an individual and we went somewhere and there was someone begging for money or something. And he said, I'll give you the money, but only if I can tell you about Jesus. And maybe the man heard that many times, I don't know. But he listened to the story of salvation first, and then he was helped. It was mixed together. It went a lot farther than just giving it to him. Let's have one box, one life. Well, I do have some pointers on balancing material and spiritual interest. I do have a checklist, a little bit of a checklist. I told you not to have checklists. First of all, we need to think right. We need to think right. We need to have our thoughts right if we're going to be able to find a balance between material and spiritual interest. When we wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that we think about? What is the first thing that we think about when we wake up in the morning? I was told this is a great way to know if your priorities are right or not. What do you think about when you wake up in the morning? What did I think about when I woke up this morning? Well, it was a little easier because it was a Sunday. Or was it? Did I think about spiritual things? Or did I think about physical things that needed to be done? Colossians chapter 3. Let's read two verses over here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, we could keep reading for a long ways. Chapter talks all about it. But those are the verses that emphasize the point. We need to think right. We need to set our affections on Christ. It isn't hard to think about the things that we love the most. When our mind kicks into neutral throughout the day, the things that we care about, the things that we're really working on, that's where our mind tends to go. And maybe that's just the way our brains work. But if we're really trying to figure out a problem, piece of equipment's broke, or something's relationship's wrong, or something's happening, and we're driving along, and next thing we know, we're thinking about it again. Or we were in a conversation with somebody, and next thing we know, we're talking about this thing again, and we hadn't intended to. What are the things that come to our mind? Our thinking can consume our lives, can consume it. And so we need to direct our thinking into things that are holy, things that are right. This is where we have to start. Well, what if I haven't been thinking right? The second point that I have is that we need to wash right or cleanse right. If we're going to find the right balance between material and spiritual interests, we have to take care of the wrong thinking that we've been doing. We have to take care of the sin that we've been doing. We have to take care of what got us off track. We have to repent of the things that got us away. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So if we're all getting off track in these things, we need to be honest with ourselves and do some confession, do some repenting, get these things straightened out. If our life is all about our business or it's all about something that we are pursuing, we might need to think about a little bit of cleansing, or a lot of cleansing. Hebrews chapter 12. I don't mind making you turn to scriptures because they're all in the New Testament and they're close together here. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3, talks about this as well. Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What do these verses tell us? We're going to follow Christ. We're going to find balance in our life with a lot of laying aside that we have to do. Certainly, we need to lay aside every sin. Certainly, we need to lay aside the besetting sins. But I think there's other weights that we find in our life sometimes. Maybe good things, maybe okay things. And we lay them aside. There's a lot of amusements that we can do. And maybe in and of themselves are not all wrong, but too much of a good thing becomes a bad thing. And we have to lay those things aside. It's not a good focus. We're just doing it for fun and nothing more. Maybe there's some apps on our phone that are a snare. Thought about that. And we need to delete it. Maybe it's not something that's even wrong. But maybe it's getting us way out of balance because we're spending a lot of time with it. And we shouldn't be spending so much time with it. So we have to, some of those things that are getting us off course, we have to cut them out. Nothing wrong with reading books, but maybe they were doing too much reading. And you can put in there whatever it is for you, because I'm sure it's something. You ever seen someone that was really good at balance? Maybe a tightrope walker or a unicycle rider or something. And you think, wow, he just has the perfect balance. He can really do that. Thought about Jesus. You know, there is a man that we can look at and we can say, the perfect balance. And how did he do it? Well, he was God and he was man. He was both. But we can do what he did. You think about all the preaching Jesus did, the healing he did, the praying that he did, the praying at night that he did, the teaching that he did, and he also did eating and sleeping and traveling, just like we do. And somehow, he found the perfect balance in it all. And we could go down quite a number of different examples of Jesus where he was in this situation and this came up, and he was able to take care of both of the needs. And we can't raise people from the dead. At least we don't think we can. Jesus can do some of those things. But he answered all kind of needs on the way down to see Lazarus when Lazarus was already dead and in the grave, and he raised him back to life. Jesus just was able to have that perfect balance between the physical and the spiritual. And if you feel yourself getting out of balance, read through the Gospels. Read through the Gospels. It's a good challenge. Number 3 in the checklist, I have prioritized right. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We read from the Sermon of the Mount tonight. You want to talk about finding balance in your life, Read from the Sermon in the Mount, seeking God's kingdom and finding the fulfillment in all of it. We need to have the right priorities. We need to know what the most important part of our day is and what the most important of our day isn't. And we need to take care of our families, but we need to know that's not the only thing we're supposed to be doing. Point number four was mix it right. Mix it right. Make a point to do both. I'd like to take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Because he gave them instructions there. When he talked to them about all the laws and everything they were supposed to be doing, and how do you pass this on to the next generation? Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4 to 9, he told them how to do it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. How do we mix this right? Well, emphasizing, first of all, loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And we already talked about that. But then he says, he gives us a few more pointers, and he says words like talk, sit, walk, lie down, rise up. So we keep on living our lives like we always do. But when we sit down, or when we rise up in the morning, We read the Word of God. When we sit down, we talk about it. We teach it as we go about everyday actions like we always do. We have to mix it with spiritual things. Driving down the road, and I remember being little and driving down the road and driving past the laundromat. I can even picture it in my mind there in the city of Lebanon. And the steam was coming out the vent on the side of the building. And my father quoted the verse of your life being like a vapor. He said, look at that going out the side of that building. He said, it just goes out and it disappears. He said, it's just like your life is. And as a little boy, you hardly wrap your mind around that thought of that your life is just vanishing like that. You don't think of that at all. But there was an opportunity. We need to take these opportunities to something happens. And here's a verse. And we're not too embarrassed to talk about it with our children, are we? But we point them to it and we tell them about it and it... That's how you hide it. That's how we hide it away in their heart. I already talked about stopping in the middle of whatever we're doing because of a spiritual interest. And I appreciated the brother's point tonight when he said, there's the picture and someone's standing on the dock and someone's drowning. I'll pray for you. Doesn't that hit pretty close to home? I'll pray for you. No, I'll pray with you right now. At least we can do that. That's the least we can do. Teach them how to pray by praying with them right in that moment. May I pray with you? And many other things. How can I help you? What's another thing we can do? And this probably gets a little more practical. We need to make a list of all the important things in life. I thought about using the board tonight. But maybe it's different enough for all of us. Maybe we should just sit down sometime. We should make a list of all the important things in life. And certainly, getting enough to eat and having heat in the house and having a reliable vehicle to drive, you can put on that list. I don't think it's wrong to put material things on your list. But let's put all the other things in life that we're trying to get done too. All the different ways that we're trying to lay up treasure in heaven. Let's put those things on the list. Then remember how we used to do in school? Maybe it was a science class or something, or history, you had to number the events in order, or you had to number them with the most important. We need to take that list that we make and number them in the most, what's the most important. And I know it's going to vary in age. You know, what you think is the most important. It's going to vary from person to person. But let's make that list and then let's number them in order. Then what happened in school? What was the next thing that happened? Well, you have to get out the red pen and go back over that list again. We have to grade the list, and we have to make sure that what we have listed should be on that list, and the order that we have them on is in the right order. And we have to use the answer key when we do it. We have to use the Word of God, and we do that. Make sure our lives are lining up like they should be. Oh, it's easy. It's fun to do this for other people. It is. Or maybe we should just make a list and give it to somebody else at church. Say, brother, look over this for me. Am I getting this straight? Maybe we should open ourselves up more to that kind of accountability. Well, if we're serious, if we think we're off track and we're serious about it, that's the kind of thing we will do. That's how we find balance. Let somebody else look at that and tell us, you know how it is. You're trying to put up a fence or something, and you say, somebody else, go down and look at that. Or you tell somebody else to hold the post. While you look down through there, and you can tell them if it's straight or not. Sometimes it takes more than one person to know whether or not we're finding this balance in our life between material things and spiritual things. And the sixth thing I had on this list that can really help us out is be content. Be content. Contentment goes so far. Be content to be where God wants you. Remember what Job said. Said, I came in naked, I'm going out naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have to remember that. We came with nothing and we're going with nothing. And it's going to happen sooner than what we'd like. How does that affect what we do every day? In closing, I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. And you know these verses, but let's read them anyway. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, I find these verses a lot harder than what I used to. I find these verses a lot harder to read than what I used to, because when I was younger, I had a lot of ideals. And I knew that one of the ways you lay up treasure in heaven is you have a family and you have children and they take it from you. But what do you do after a while if God blesses you faster and more than what it's costing you to live? What do you do with it after a while? And a few years ago, I probably would have thought that never would have happened, you know? Seems like you're always one step forward and two steps back. And maybe that's where you find yourself right now. Consider yourself to be blessed, to have that struggle in your life. It's good for us. It helps us to lay up treasure in heaven. If you find yourself tonight on the other side of that, where it's two steps forward and one step back, let's make sure we make a point to follow these verses and lay up treasures that don't rust and don't get stolen. I'd probably be embarrassed. I shouldn't be too embarrassed to say that I got up in the middle of the night and drove down to my parking lot because I thought somebody was there. The dog was barking, saw some lights, and I drove down there, see what's going on, because I remembered there was a couple people driving around the mountain road the night before, and I thought, well, maybe someone's down there snooping around. I should go down and see what happens, see what's going on. Were my priorities right or wrong? I'm not sure, because there's been a few situations where people needed help. But maybe I'm too concerned about riches that rust and riches that get stolen and taken away. Well, let's put this to work in our life. If we don't put this to action in our life, then we might as well wouldn't have come here to church tonight. Let's kneel for prayer.